One. We have to find.
Chapter 11,
a nice class.
Text 21. Bhagavam Statra Bandunam.
Bhagavam
Statra Bandunam.
Oranam Anuvartinam.
Oranam Anuvartinam.
Yata Vidyupasangamya.
Yathāpiti upasangamya
Sarvesham manamarare
Sarvesham manamarare
Bhagavam satra bandhunam
Bhagavam satra bandhunam
Oranam anuvartinam
Oranam anuvartinam
Yatha vidyu upasangamya
Yatha vidyu upasangamya
Sarvesham manamarare
Sarvesham manamarare
Bhagavan satra bandhunam
Bhagavan
satra bandhunam
Oranam anuvartinam
Oranam anuvatinam
Yatha vidyupasangamya
Yatha vidhi upasangamya
Sarvesham manam adadhe
Sarvesham manam adadhe
Bhagavan satra bandhunam
Bhagavam satra bandhunam
Arunam anuvartinam
Oranam anuvartinam Yatha vidhi upasangamya
Sarvesham manam adade
Bhagavam satra bandhunam Poranam anuvartinam
Poranam
anuvartinam
Yatha vidhi upasangamya
Yatha vidhi upasangamya
Sarvesham manam adade
Sarvesham manam adade Word for word,
Bhagavan.
Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead.
Sri Krishna,
the personality of Godhead.
Tatra. In that place. Bandhunam. Of the friends. Oranam. Of the citizens. Anuvartinam. Those who approached him to receive and welcome.
Those who approached him to receive and welcome.
Yatavidi. As it behooves. Upasangamya. Going nearer. Sarvesham. For each and everyone. Manam. Honor and respects.
Adade.
Offered. Translation. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, approached them and offered due honor and respect to each and every one of the friends, relatives, citizens, and all others who came to receive and welcome him. Purport. The Supreme Lord personality of Godhead is neither impersonal nor an inert object unable to reciprocate the feelings of his devotees. Here the word yatavidi, or just as it behooves, is significant. He reciprocates just as it behooves with his different types of admirers and devotees. Of course, the pure devotees are of one type only because they have no other object for service but the Lord. Therefore, the Lord also reciprocates with such pure devotees just as it behooves, namely, he is always attentive to all the matters of his pure devotees. There are others who designate him as impersonal, And so the Lord also does not take any personal interest. He satisfies everyone in terms of one's development of spiritual consciousness, and a sample of such reciprocation is exhibited here with his different welcomers.
If I could interrupt just for one moment. First of all, we want to thank very much Ramai Maharaj for again giving class. Thank you so much, Maharaj. We have about 30 devotees at this time. So please, everyone, if you could all mute yourselves. And it's going to take me just 1 second to switch over to the lecture mode, Maharaj, and then you can begin.
Okay, so I can just go. So I'll read this verse again. Bhagavam stattrabandunam aporanam anuvartinam yata vidyupasangam ya sarvisham manam adade. Translation again. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, approached them and offered due honor and respect to each and every one of the friends, relatives, citizens, and all others who came to receive and welcome him. So we continue in the chapter, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, coming back from Hastinapur after the Battle of Kurukshetra. And we see how happy all the citizens of Dwarka coming out to meet the Lord and offer him obeisances and feeling natural love and affection. So the other morning when I was giving the class, I mentioned that this is the culture, the Vedic culture, that how one should receive guests, and of course, what to speak of coming out and welcoming and receiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada always said, even your enemy, and that's actually an injunction of the Vedas, even your enemy, if he comes to your house, you receive him with kind words. We know in the story of Jarasandha, when Krishna, Bhimsen and Arjuna went there to actually, the idea was that Bhimsena was going to fight with Jarasandha and kill him, and they went there disguised as brahmanas. Now Jarasandha received them very nicely. He saw that they came dressed as brahmanas, but he was looking at them very closely and was thinking that he had seen them before somehow. They didn't look like brahmanas. They looked very powerful, more like kshatriyas. And so, but nevertheless, if they were whoever they are, they have come here unexpected, and they are dressed as brahmanas, so I will receive them as such. Later on, Krishna revealed who they were, but still, Jarasandha, of course, he laughed, saying that Bhimsen and you and Arjuna, you think you can defeat me, but still, you have come as my guests, and so you are welcome. And Prabhupada mentions that at the end of the day's fighting between Jarasandha and Bhimsena, Jarasandha would look after all the needs of his guests as a friend. So this is the standard of culture, the Vedic culture and spiritual culture. So of course, citizens of Dwarka were all very had a natural affection and had great love for Krishna. And so there, and Prabhupada mentions here that they are, what does he say, that of course the pure devotees are of one type only, because they have no other object for service but the Lord, and therefore the Lord also reciprocates with such pure devotees just as it behooves. Namely, he is always attentive to all the matters of his pure devotees. So the pure devotees and the residents of Dwarka are not thinking in any antagonistic way to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he's coming into Dwarka. They have natural affection. They were not like Jarasandha, who became the enemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know that story of Jarasandha, that when Krishna killed Kamsa, of course, the wives of Kamsa, who was it, Prapti and Asti, wasn't it? I think their names were the wives, and they were the daughters of Jarasandha. One time Jarasandha had come, and he was conquering all the neighboring lands, and he'd come to the district of Mathura, and the plan was to conquer Kamsa. And just at that time, Kamsa was having a big festival, and they're all tents and everything like that on the banks of the Jumna, but on the other side. and actually he was having a huge wrestling exhibition. So Jarasandha had pulled up there, and Jarasandha had this big, powerful elephant that could trample thousands and tens of thousands. Now Jarasandha had pulled up on the other side with his army and camped out, and he had this big elephant that he had chained up and would use in war. So somehow or other, during the night, that elephant broke its chain and escaped and managed to get over the other side of the river where Kamsa was having this big festival, and ran amok, trampling so many and killing them, and coming closer and closer to where Kamsa was. And Kamsa came before the elephant. Now, this elephant couldn't be subdued by tens of thousands of soldiers even. But Kamsa was so strong and big that he grabbed the whole of the trunk of this elephant, swung him around, and threw him right across the other side of the river, and the elephant landed in a heap dead in front of Jarasandha. So when Jarasandha saw that, he thought, whoa. his spies had told him that this elephant was thrown here by Kamsa. So Jarasandha thought better of waging war against Kamsa. And that was when he thought, well, let me go into a truce, not an alliance with Kamsa, rather than fight him. So that's when he presented his daughters in marriage. He offered his daughters, Asti and Prapti, to Kamsa. And Kamsa married them. And so there was actually an alliance between Kamsa and Jarasandha. But later on, of course, when Krishna came to Mathura from Vrindavan and killed Kamsa, now naturally Asti and Prapti were widows. So Jarasandha was very angry about that. So ever since that time, he had that great enmity. And that's why he came and attacked Mathura so many times, isn't it? 17 times. And I think on the 18th time that he was joined by Kalayavan, another king from the south. And Krishna decided to leave and take all the citizens, and they created the city of Dwarka by his own mystic power. He created the city of Dwarka, and all he took everyone there. So Jarasandha had that enmity, and so this is a little off the topic, but you know, just give you the history of why Jarasandha had that enmity. But still, still he received, when Krishna and Arjuna and Bhimsen came, he received them nicely, even though they were enemies. And this is going back to the point. So anyway, here, all the citizens are pure devotees. Now, Prabhupada points out very interestingly that how Krishna is a person. He is the supreme person. He is that one eternal who provides the needs of all others. Nitya nityanas chetanam chetananam ekabhonam yogiditihatikaman. So naturally everyone is connected to Krishna. And I was mentioning the other morning that there's a natural affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead by everyone. Everyone has a natural affection because he is the, and we are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But of course the conditioned souls affected in Kali Yuga, especially by the modes of passion and ignorance, they do not, that is not very manifest. They are subjugated by the modes of nature. But certainly the pure devotees, they are, it comes very spontaneous, natural affection. So, and now we're seeing how Krishna is reciprocating. Now, Prabhupada mentions here that Krishna is not impersonal. He's neither impersonal nor an inert object. Is a very significant. He's neither he is a person. Now, some have an idea that God is impersonal. He is Brahman, or he is the void, or he is something, or they don't even regard, they don't refer to him as he, just the supreme or it. So they think that the supreme is impersonal. So Prabhupada is saying he is not impersonal. He is a person, but he is a person like us, but he is the supreme person, and in that sense, he is not like us. He's like us in that we are his parts and parcels, but he is not like us because he is the source of all, and he is that supreme person providing for everyone else. So he is not impersonal, and he reciprocates. He's not impersonal, nor is he inert. Okay, so someone may think that, well, okay, he's a person, but he's just sitting up there in heaven or wherever he is, and he is just observing everything without doing anything. He is inert, doesn't do anything, just observes. And, you know, sometimes people complain that, oh, you know, so many bad things happen in the world. Why is God so mean? Why doesn't he do anything? He's just sitting in the heaven on a cloud or something like that with a big, long, white beard and looking down upon, and he's allowing all these things to happen, all the bad things to happen, and he's not doing anything. But actually, he is acting. He is arranging everything. All the spiritual world, actually, it is mentioned that the material world, it's only a quarter of the part of the total existence, the three quarters, the Ekad Vibhuti and Tripad Vibhuti, you know, the three quarters of the existence is the spiritual, where so many living entities are existing. So he is arranging, expanding, and Vishnu Tattva expansions, and then there's Vibhinamsa, the parts, the Jivas. He is expanding, and so many fill the spiritual world. There are so many planets in the spiritual world. He's doing, and he is with everyone in the spiritual world in some form or another. There is the Krishna Loka, and he's engaging in so many pastimes and reciprocates. And then there is all the Vaikunthas. He is there also. He is with everyone. What is his position? So much. He can be supreme in the spiritual world, enjoying with Radha. And he is with everyone else simultaneously. So in the spiritual world, and then the material universes come from the Karanalakshay Vishnu, and the Garbhalakshay Vishnu goes within each universe. And then the Brahma comes, and then all the planets. And he enters the planets, and he enters the hearts of all living entities. He enters the atom. So he is very active. And he travels with the living entity from one body to another body. He is with you. He knows you. He is arranging. He knows you better than you know you. Understand this point? We've had many lives, but we can't remember our past life. Even in this life, one week before, if I were to ask someone, you know, what did you do this time 3 weeks ago? They would have to dredge their memories. Oh, yeah, well, let me think about that. So even 3 weeks, or what to speak 3 years, or 30 years, or what to speak last life, or so many lives, we don't know. We think we know ourselves, but actually we don't even know ourselves. But Krishna knows. Krishna knows. Why? Because he has been with us all this time. He knows what we've been, what we've done, and he knows our inner desires that we don't know. People are trying to work out themselves, trying to work out their own desires. Sometimes they're very confused. They have to go to the psychologist or even go to the psychiatrist to, you know, try to. They become so confused and desperate, they need to have someone help them understand their own position in material society, their own identity. They become disillusioned or whatever. So we don't know ourselves, but Krishna does, and he's arranging everything. He reciprocates just accordingly to our position. So here in one section of the purport, Prabhupada mentions that there are some who designate him as impersonal, and so the Lord does not take any personal interest. Now, what that means is that he reciprocates with them according to their desire. They want him to be impersonal, so he's the Brahman. There's not much of a reciprocation, but, you know, there's no personal, there's no intimate. There's no intimate reciprocation with Brahman. You can't have really love in Brahman. You can have existence. There is some feeling you cannot even say ananda. There's some ananda there in the contact with Brahman. But love, divine love, that is not. But still, so he personally, he's not reciprocating personally with them because that is their desire. They don't want to reciprocate in that way. So Krishna is just fulfilling their desire. So Krishna is so intelligent that he can fulfill everyone's desires just as they want. And he's so clever that those who just want to live in the world and forget about God, he arranges that they forget, although he's there right with them, right beside them. How intelligent is that? How mystical is that? That he is right by your side. But because you desire to forget about him, he arranges it that you come into a situation in the material world and covered by the modes of material nature, that you completely forget about him, although he's standing, he's situated right next to you in your heart. So how can, who else can do and make an arrangement like that? Only Krishna. Yet some people say, I am God. I am supreme. What can they do? They don't even know how many hairs on their head. I am God. How many hairs on your head? You're God. You should know how many hairs on your head. Who knows? But yet they want to declare like that. So they're foolish. They're unintelligent. They're in a situation that they had no proper training. Prabhupada used to say that sometimes. And he would say to his disciples, he said, the problem is that you don't have proper training. Training how to do nicely in devotional service, engage in nice devotional service and understand what is devotional service and get this knowledge. So what to speak of the materialists? They don't have any training, no education. There's no culture. In the Vedic culture, at least, the children would go to the Gurukul and have some education as far as what are these things, what is the position of the Supreme, who we are, what we should be doing. But in the Western country, they don't have any culture like that. They're just technical education only. How to be, how to learn a trade, how to be electrician, how to be plumber, or how to be a computer programmer, or how to be a lawyer, how to be doctor. So this is technical education, but there's no real spiritual cultural education. So the position is very unfortunate. And then because they don't have this education, then they conclude so many things that are falsities. They are not realities. And they use their faulty intellect and faulty mind and faulty senses to come to these conclusions. But it's a non-reality, and that's very unfortunate. So here, Prabhupada says, the Lord doesn't take any personal interest for those who designate him as impersonal. And as far as the materialist is concerned, therefore he just keeps himself hidden. I reserve the right to manifest myself, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. I don't manifest to the fools and the atheists. So those who want to forget him, then he allows them to forget him. And those who want to always remember him, oh, he reciprocates so much. So we see here how they are reciprocating and how easily it is to reciprocate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how he easily reciprocates with them. Now, in the Nectar of Devotion, there's some of the qualities of Krishna are described. You read one section there. And Rupa Goswami gives the qualities of Krishna, how he is so wonderful. And he lists 50 qualities of Krishna that even the jivas, the living entities, they can have a minute portion of these 50 qualities. For example, he has very beautiful features all over his body. He is effulgent, extremely pleasing. He is truthful. He is highly intelligent, highly learned, extremely clever, expert, grateful, expert judge of time and circumstance. He's giving, brave, self-satisfied, respectful, gentle, liberal, happy, well-wisher, controlled by love, all auspicious, all famous, popular, all opulent. So these are some of the 50 qualities that Krishna has, that the Jivatmas can also have, but they can only have them in a minute. They can't have them to the extent of the Supreme Personality of God. But these qualities are certainly very, very attractive. So who wouldn't be attracted to someone who has these types of qualities and to such an extent as the living entity has any of these qualities? They are also very attractive. Living entity is very expert. If a living entity is very clever, very grateful, pure, forgiving, forbearing, magnanimous, happy, people are attracted to him. As I said, the living entity can't have in a great degree all these things, so the attraction is limited. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead has an unlimited amount of these qualities. His gratefulness is unlimited. His magnanimity is unlimited. So these 50 qualities, and then Rupa Goswami goes on to say that Krishna possesses another 5 qualities that the Jivatmas, they cannot have except for maybe Lord Brahma and, of course, Lord Shiva, Rupa Goswami mentions, that he has these qualities up to a certain point. Now, it's mentioned, what are these extra 5 qualities? Changeless, all-cognizant, ever-fresh, Satchidananda, possessing an eternal blissful body and possessing all mystic perfections. Lord Brahma, and here Rupa Goswami actually says that sometimes they are partially manifested in the persons of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Sometimes, maybe Lord Brahma, who is a living, can be a Jivatma, doesn't have these qualities, but sometimes he might have these qualities, and they're partially manifested. Lord Shiva can have these qualities. So changeless, blissful body. We see Lord Shiva, his body is blissful. Satchidananda, all-knowing. Lord Brahma also, practically his body, he hasn't got a body like living entities on earth. He has, as described here, Lord Brahma, he has an ethereal body made of ether. And he manifests himself when he goes to different places. He can manifest himself so others can see him. But actually, he is very gigantic. It's described that Lord Brahma's body is very gigantic, and it's an ethereal body. And it's practically almost spiritual. It's almost spiritual. It's ethereal. Lord Shiva, of course, has a spiritual body. So they're changeless. In that sense, they're changeless. And they're blissful. And they're all-knowing. So these are 5 extra qualities that Krishna has, taking the total to 55 qualities partially Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma can have. And now Rupa Goswami goes on to describe an extra 5 qualities that Krishna possesses are manifest in the body of Lord Narayan. He has inconceivable potency. Inconceivable. How does the Lord do this? How does the Lord do that? It's not conceivable to others. So the potency is inconceivable. Uncountable universes generate from his body. So now this is a quality only Lord Narayan has, or Vishnu has. This is not found in Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma can come in each universe and help arrange the planetary systems. We don't find that universes come from the body of Lord Brahma, nor universes don't come from the body of Lord Shiva, as mentioned here by Rupa Goswami. But universes come from the Karnadakshaya Vishnu. So someone who wants to say, I am God, doesn't even know how many hairs on his body, what to speak of universes. Universe is coming from his body. But this is the description of one of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that universes generate from his body. He is the original source of all incarnations. So the incarnations are coming, it is said, from the Vishnu, and then coming to this world. That there are various incarnations of Kaurama avatar and Matsya avatar and Nrisimha avatar. They have their eternal abodes in the Vaikuntha. They have their eternal abodes in Vaikuntha. But when they come to this world, they manifest in a form like Lord Nrisimha, Matsya, fish incarnation, Kaurama tortoise incarnation. But in the Vaikuntha, they are four-armed Vishnu form. Only when they come here for a particular leela, they change their form. the original source. So the incarnations come from the Vaikuntha through the Vishnus, and he is the attractor of liberated souls. So these are the qualities that more qualities than even Lord Brahma and Shiva have. and certainly more qualities than the living entities have, these qualities are manifest in the person of Lord Narayana or Lord Vishnu. Now, Rupa Goswami goes on to say that Krishna has four more qualities, even more than Lord Narayana, that Lord Narayana doesn't even have. And he mentions them here. One is called Lila Madhurya. Now, Madhurya means sweetness. These qualities are so sweet. Lila Madhurya. Now, Lila means, of course, pastimes. Now, Krishna, certainly the incarnations have pastimes. And even Lord Brahma, Shiva, and have pastimes. But these particular pastimes of Krishna cannot be paralleled or surpassed by any form of Lord Narayana or anyone else. They're so sweet. They're so unique. They're unrivaled, unparalleled. And especially, it is mentioned here, Krishna's childhood pastimes that we don't find Matsya displaying childhood pastimes or Lord Nrisimha displaying childhood pastimes. Perhaps some of the other, like Lord Ram displays, but they're not on the level of the childhood pastimes of Krishna. And also mentioned the not only the childhood pastime, but you could say they're in the childhood, the Ras Lila, the childhood or the youth pastime. The Ras Lila pastime is considered super excellent. There no other incarnation or no other form of the Lord can have like a Leela like Ras Leela or other childhood pastimes. So this is very, very unique, and this is very, very sweet, and is unique to the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. One of the extraordinary qualities that he has over and above all others, Leela Madhurya. And another one is, I mentioned, Prema Madhurya. Prema Madhurya is the love. The sweetness of love, especially the sweetness of love, he attracts from his eternal associates like Nanda, Jasoda, the Gopas, the Gopis. The level of love that they have for him is unparalleled and unsurpassed in any other devotee has for any other incarnation of the form of the Lord. The love of Radha for Krishna, the love of Radha for Krishna. That love is so high it's very unique. So therefore, this quality, prema madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna, and it is relative. Krishna, as the love of his devotee manifests more and more, then Krishna's love for that devotee increases more and more. So in this way, actually, there's no limit to Krishna's love and no limit to his eternal associates' love. The Gopas, the Gopis, Nanda, Jasoda, and, of course, Radharani. Here is one statement. The prema of Jasoda makes the all-powerful and all-pervading Krishna allow himself to be tied by her. The prema of Nanda makes Krishna carry Nanda's shoes on his head. The prema of the wives of the Yajnik Brahmins make Krishna beg food at their door. So this love is not exhibited in other forms of the Lord. Here also mentioned Rupa Madhurya. Now the sweetness of Krishna's Rupa form, Krishna's beauty is unparalleled. Now especially it is said that the form of Shamsundra is considered the most beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And every part of the form of Lord Shamsundra is beautiful collectively, together, and individually. In other words, the eyes are beautiful. He has the Shamsundra described, the lotus eyes or the shank eyes. His eyes go very wide, almost round to the ears. They're so good. So even if you were to take any part of the form of the Lord's chest, the Lord's eyes, the Lord's hair, the Lord's hands, the Lord's feet, the Lord's fingernails, toenails, his arms, his legs, his waist, the moon-like face of the Supreme Person, his teeth. There are many descriptions in the Shastras of just one particular part of the Lord's form, the teeth of the Lord, the nose of the Lord, the ears of the Lord. So his form is